Napoleon Hill. And these guys will say, you need to get rich. It's got to be. How many have heard that? You know, you need to get rich. You can think and grow rich. And they put all their emphasis on that. But what does the Bible say about that? It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. If you have a desire to be rich so you can have financial freedom, you're goofy. You're not going to be locked in with God, and you're going to get yourself pulled away from your greatest riches, which is your relationship to God. And you're going to make a God out of your money. The Bible says, for the love of money, not money, but for the love of money is the root of all evil. You make money your ticket to financial freedom, and getting enough of it is your ticket to. No, it's not. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, let me balance that. The Bible is not saying that it's sinful to have a lot of money. It's not sinful to be rich, if God so chooses. It's not saying that money is evil. It's the love of money. It's putting your faith in money. And I believe that we live in America, and we live in probably the greatest nation on earth, even in spite of all of our sins and problems. And we have an opportunity to do great things for God. If God entrusts you with money and you handle it properly and biblically, you can do a lot. And I believe that a lot of believers, because they don't handle money properly, God takes it away from them. And that happens too. And so people just say, if I'm poor, I'm blessed. No, you're not. You might be poor because you've been stupid with money. In fact, a lot of people are poor because they've been stupid with money. And God says, no, that's not a benefit or a blessing. You need to understand the science of money in the Bible and apply these things. And so if you live in America where you have many opportunities and you recognize and apply the science of money, I believe that you'll live like nobody else lives, because not many people follow that. And if you live like nobody else lives, guess what? Living in America, you'll be able to give like nobody else can give. And that should happen in your life. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that you are to make money so that not only can you meet your own needs by working, having a business, having a job, but you can help others. Are you giving? It's more blessed to give than receive, but you can't give if you're stupid with money, because you're squandering it. And many times I'm saying that is a problem, and so that is the balancing truth to what we're talking about here. And and that's one of the reasons I'm preaching on this, so that you can have a proper use of money and be blessed through your use of money. And therefore, I'm going to say tonight that it is not wrong to save for both short-term and long-term goals. In fact, it is very wise to do that. I mentioned, some people commented on it, you know, we had a surplus in our general fund, and with that surplus, we bought a gold coin, and I don't know the exact amount, but for somewhere around $1,500, bought a gold coin and just put it in the safe because it was in surplus, and left it in surplus in that form. Well, in just the weeks that it was in there and months that it was in there, the price went up to, the price of gold today went up $125 in one day, by the way. One day, $125. It's now over $4,500. And last I checked it, I mean. And that price of gold went from about $1,500 to about $4,500 or thereabouts. I think we turned it in, that yellow gold, we turned it in and got a yellow bus with it. And it pretty much paid for a bus. Now I'm saying that is wisdom. And God doesn't put a premium on stupidity. By the way, gold is money. It was the United States gold eagle. So it was money. And I'm just saying that stuff that we have is not real money. Those dollar bills you got, they're not real money. Did you know that? That's not real money. You got to understand what real money is. But I'm saying it's not stupid to save, and God has principles about that. And I tell people, don't get in debt for a car. So many times people get deeply in debt and they borrow all this money to buy a car. And I've always said, I'm not going to be in debt for a car. God can give me the money for a car. And the car I have now is, I've had it for about 8 years. It's a 2000 Chevy Malibu. You roll the windows down, air conditioning that way, you know. But you say, why do you love that car? It's so fast. If you step, you're past people. But not only do I love it for that reason, I love the car because I don't have a car payment on it. I never had a car payment on it. I've had it for 8 years and never had to pay a car payment. Now, my wife had a car. She drives, and we started out with a car payment on that thing. I had to wise up, but we got some money, and we paid it off. Boom. And it's been paid off for years. And you say, well, what are you doing with that money that you, most of us have to pay for car payment? I have an envelope that says car payment, and I put money in it. When it gets to a certain level, I buy a gold coin with it. Used to be I could get a gold coin when it got to $1,000 in there. Now it's more. I just bought one, though, another gold coin. And I put it in there. And I save it right here under the pulpit. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I'm saying it's not stupid to do that. Why should you be paying interest on something that depreciates like that, and you're just throwing your money away? You should be paying yourself to buy that car. And when the time comes to pay cash for that car, I even said the same thing about, the hardest thing about a car is what? Maintenance, right? I have an envelope. When I get paid, I put some in maintenance. That's called a budget. How many of you have a budget? You write that budget out and you have some kind of budget where you have envelopes or something where you put your money aside. And I have something that says car maintenance. So when I have a car fund, I've got it. I had to pay Matt today for something he did on the house. And I put an envelope. You know what it says, Matt? Home maintenance. For home maintenance. And I put money in there every month on my budget plan. So when I need some work done, I can pay somebody. I can pull money out of that and pay them, you know, to get that done. And if you're not doing that, that's stupid. That's not being wise with money. You're not living by a budget. You shouldn't be living from paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes people are just borrowing so much. When my wife and I, we first got married, we got rid of all of our credit cards. Now, I know some people are smart and they can pay that credit card off every month, but generally most people can't. They shouldn't do it. Plus, it contributes to a system where Americans are just being ripped off. And I've known people, they buy their groceries with credit cards. How many have heard of that? Buying groceries with credit cards and not paying them off. And I know people, listen to this, they pay their credit card bills with credit cards. They really do it. I mean, that is double dumb. That's as stupid as you can get. But sadly, these are God's people. These are God's people that are doing this. And you say, Pastor, what are you preaching on this for? Because it's a way to rob God. Our money is God's. How much of it is God's? 100%. And so we are robbing God when we are doing those kind of double dumb things. And so I'm just saying that we should be able to have a budget. You say, I just don't have enough money, then get another job. As long as it doesn't encroach on Americans, it was no shame to have another job or another source of income. You know, the Bible speaks about witty inventions in Proverbs. That means coming up with other sources of income. And even ladies have in-the-home income where they can stay at home and develop an income. There's so many different ways to do that today. Witty inventions. I'm just saying, your paycheck, the money that you get, is like rocket fuel. And if you do not have money coming in, then guess what? You can't have a budget because you don't have any money. And if you're broke, you're a joke. And we don't want to be a joke. The joke's on us, right? And we don't want to be that way. By the way, ladies, if a guy said, would you marry me? Find out if he's got a job. Find out if he's got any money. Find out what he does with his money. You say, well, we ain't got no money, honey, but I love you. Well, you got a funny way of showing it, because the Bible says that a man is supposed to what? Nourish and cherish his wife. Cherish means to protect, and nourish means give her money. Give her money. And if you can't do that, you're not a good leader. And you say, well, that demands some work on the man's part, you know. And yep, that's the idea. And before you get married, you better get rid of all your crummy debts and get out of debt and start saving money and start having a budget, or you're not qualified to be married. And ladies, don't marry him. I'm just saying. It's important that we understand the principles of money, and we're not stupid with money, because the Bible is filled with wisdom on that. Our country is going downhill if we don't get Gen Z to wise up about money. How many have heard of all these socialists and communists that are running for office? And what party are they in? The Demon Rat Party, right? I properly named it. And you say, I don't like you calling that party the Demon Rat. You're going to have to get over it, because you're going to keep hearing it. Because they have bought into socialism. And some guy says social. It's all being social, you know. And communism, he said, that's not a bad word. It's having all things in common. Well, we tried that at Plymouth Rock in the Plymouth Plantation. When they first came over, they said, we're going to have a common store, and everybody's going to put all their money together. Everybody in Plymouth Plantation, we're going to put all our money together. And guess what? They went broke real quick, because the people didn't want to work for the people that didn't have any money. You say, well, that's greedy. Yeah, man is basically selfish. And capitalism recognizes that. It's not a perfect, but it's the best system for a sinful world in which we live. And they had communism in the book of Acts, but it didn't last. It didn't last. And it's not a biblical teaching. It was just a history and experience. Communism never works. Wherever it's been tried, Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, they've had to go to China, they've had to go to some form of capitalism in order to survive, but they still keep the totalitarianism of it. And these people in New York City, they are really stupid. They are now saying, and I'm not talking about the people per se, but I'm talking about the government. Mamdani, that mayor Mamdani, they're now threatening people that have private property. We want your name. And what they're going for, make no mistake about it, is taking your private property. that you don't have a right to have private property. If you think you have a right to everybody else's money, then you're a crook. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. You have no right. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, you need to earn your own bread. It says it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You need to earn your own bread. And yes, you should give to others as a believer, but it should not be the government that does that. They don't have the responsibility to do that. That is your freedom, and the government is not to take over that. Our founding fathers would roll over in their grave if they knew the kind of government that we now have. And it's really coming out. The seeds of communism has already been there. It's expanded now that they're coming right out and talking about it. And so you need to have financial fuel. I talked to a guy a while back, and he had an injury and he lost his job and he couldn't work. And I pulled him in to counsel with him. And I said, look, you got an injury on your knee. You can't work. I said, your money is your rocket fuel. And his mother told me one time, he's had a lot of bad luck in his life. Everything always bad happens. And you know what? That was his mother's view. But my view was he's had bad counsel. That he needs counsel from a man. And I gave him the counsel. I said, look, you got an injury to your knee. You have another kind of job you can work and make more money than you are working from the other one. And it won't require you on your feet all the time. But it will be a job. And you know what? He got that job and he's making more money now than he did before. And he's happy about it. But if you lose your job, and I'm talking to many young men, you need to spend as much time finding work as you do working. You don't just sit there and say, oh, I'm having bad luck. Look at all these things. That's what he was doing. All these things happening to me. No, you can do something about it. And so we're talking here about financial freedom and what God says about financial freedom. We're looking at that both negatively and positively. Now, I'd like to just move on from that and look at biblical financial freedom and what the Bible says about biblical financial freedom. And I remember I had a men's manual written by Bill Gothard, and I had some guys get together with me, and we went through some of these things. And how important it is today that we understand these things, because believers, we should have wisdom, and we should be leading the way in the way things are done and not following the world's way. So financial freedom, number one, is recognizing the source of your money. In other words, if you're being blessed with money and you think that's because you're so smart or you're so good, then you're wrong. The Bible very clearly says in Deuteronomy 8:18, for it is he, that is God, that giveth thee power to get wealth. So your money's not your own, and the fact that you're making the money, God is the source of that, 100% of it. God just doesn't owe the 10%. He owes all of what you have. All of your time, by the way. All of your treasures or your money, by the way. And any talent you have or spiritual gift you have, God gave that to you. And when you recognize that, then you recognize and you give God the glory for it, and you lay it at the feet of the Lord to use it however he wants. And you know, people say, well, you know, financial freedom. And yes, a rich man, many times that isn't a true believer, his wealth, the Bible says, is his strong city. I mentioned Elon Musk, you know, a trillionaire. And these multi-billionaires, you know, they have a lot of power, don't they? Somebody said money talks and what? Everybody walks. But have you ever heard of rich people losing their money? It can happen. Or it can go down. A lot of people that win the lottery, they lose their money quick. You know why? Because they got rich too quick. They didn't know how money works. And so they lost it all. They didn't follow biblical principles. But listen to this. In the book of Philippians, the apostle Paul wrote that there are cycles in your life of abounding and being abased. And God does that so you recognize God's the source of your money. Can one of the men tell me a rich man in the Bible that went through a cycle of abounding, then he was abased, then he was abounding again? Brother Kyle?
Job.
The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that happened to Job. He didn't do anything wrong. It was just God's plan. It happened to the Apostle Paul. He didn't do anything wrong. It was just God's plan. And God will do that in your life so that you will remember and recognize God is the one that gave you your money. He can take it away. He can give it to you again. He gives you your jobs, your ability to make money, and all of that kind of thing. And you always need to keep that in mind, don't you? And so that is a very important principle of what? Financial freedom. See, that's not what the world teaches, financial freedom. It doesn't teach God is the source of your wealth. God gives you the power to earn the money and all of that. No, they don't teach that. They just said, you follow this formula, you'll get rich, and then you can be free. No, that's not the Bible way. And financial freedom is recognizing God is the source of all of your money. So you should have wise principles to manage that money to accomplish positive short-term and long-term goals with your money. And in other words, people should be able to save money for the future. How many have heard of Social Security? It's really social insecurity. You know, it was under FDR who was heading us toward communism. And he had this idea. Do you know that they're supposed to put your Social Security money in a lockbox for when you're older and you can't work? You notice now everybody gets Social Security. It's not if you're old and you can't. Everybody, they have so many people getting Social Security. And it's not in any lockbox not being saved. It's coming out right now. To buy votes and everything else. And I like what Trump said about young people having savings accounts and then that money building up over time and being for them and for their family. That is the idea there. And when you're younger, you should be saving money for when you get older. That's in the book of Proverbs. That's biblical. And God gives you that wisdom to do that and to have money saved up, because you're not always going to be as able-bodied as you are right now. Although it would be a good idea, the best of our ability, to take care of our bodies and not eat all this sugar and get diabetes. What is it? What's that called? Diabetes. Type 2. Type 2 is diet. And a lot of Americans are killing themselves because of eating junk food and everything else. And so that is not wise, and not getting exercise and so forth. And so we need those principles and to realize God gives you that so that you can use wisdom. I was having back problems some years ago, and I was getting this roller on my back and all this, and Brother Bob thinks it was Joe, but I talk about Joe. I know about Joe's, but it was Bob, and he was getting on me about lifting weights, And he said, do bent over rowing like this. And I started doing it. And then I started doing Superman exercise where I get on my belly and put my front feet up and my back. And I do that all through the week. You say, does that hurt you? I'd rather be hurt that way than be in a hospital bed because my back gave out. It was bad. My back, it was bad. And right now it's good. And I'm just saying that God gives us wisdom, and we need to apply that wisdom. I think, Brother Joe, they said to you, exercising for your back, about 5% of the people, the doctor says, to do that kind of therapy, people actually do. Is that right? And Joe is in the 5%, and you feel his back, it's as hard as Superman. It's like steel. Those muscles hold your back in. They hold it in. And I'm just saying that that there are things that we can do that, yes, there's pain, but it's no pain, no gain. And you're going to have pain if you don't do it. And that pain is going to be really bad, right? So I'm talking about things that we can prevent in the area of money and in the area of health. And we need that wisdom. And so God is the source of our money. And you know what? Elijah, God was providing his money. He's a preacher. God was taking care of him. And he told him to go by a brook, and God would feed him with ravens flying in bread. And then the brook had the water. And then what happened to the brook? The brook Cherith, it ran dry, right? And Elijah said, what do I do now? And then God said, go to a widow, and I'll provide through the widow. And he did that. But, you know, God will let your money dry up. And he wants you to know he's the source of your money. And so your main focus is on God and what God wants you to do with your money. But if your main focus is not on God, if it's on the money, then you're going to be into idolatry. And what does Colossians say? Covetousness is what? Idolatry. And what did Jesus say? You can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. I remember Tom Williams, the evangelist. He was working for the Coca-Cola company, and he was making good money at his job and providing for his wife and providing for his family. But Tom Williams, though he had a job and though he was making money, he did not make a God out of his money and out of his job. And the employer said, okay, we're going to have a push, and we want to sell more Coca-Cola than ever. And Tom, he was one of the top salesmen of Coca-Cola. As he ran this Coca-Cola truck, he had the best sales of anybody. And they said, but here's a requirement to sell a Coke this year. You have to have ads for liquor and Coke going with alcohol, and that is what you put on your truck. And Tom said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And his job was threatened. But guess what? He still became the number one salesman, and he didn't lose his job. You see, God will test you. What is are you going to rely on the source of your money, your boss and your job? A lot of people, they'll work for their employer on Sunday and not go to church and not ever lay down the law. I've had ladies in the church, they say, I've got a conviction that I shouldn't dress like a man. Deuteronomy 22, I should dress like a lady all the time. And they say, no, you have to wear this certain dress. And I've even had teenage girls that have stood up to their employer with their dream job and say, no, I'm not going to do that. And I told one of the girls in our school, I said, write a paper on it from the Bible and share it's your religious conviction. And she did that with her employer, and the employer said, okay, you can dress like a lady all the time. Thank God for that. I'm just saying tonight, get some convictions from the Word of God and realize God is the source of your money, and have, that is what financial freedom has as the first and foundational principle, that God is the source of everything you got. And once you have that, you won't have two masters. You'll have one master. What does God want? What does God want? All right, we're going to stop there. Let's bow for prayer. We have a lot more to say on this. I'll do